Okay, Parashas B'Shalach, Chavshanayin Vav. I don't know if there'll be a shir next week. I'll begin off with the shir at all. Stay tuned to the emails.
Maybe you can send somebody a
substitute. Yeah, I offered to send someone a substitute. I don't know what they're going to do. I emailed you.
You're not going to
know. No, I offered you can get a substitute.
Oh, right. You offered to send a substitute.
I offered that you can.
Okay.
Yeah, I got
that. So what happened? They go out in Mitzrayim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu did not let them go. Derech Eretz Plishtim. That maybe they're going to get scared. They see the nation. So they go around the other way. So Reb Moshe, the Sefer I got, called Rom. So he asks, first he points out over here one thing, that Rashi says, when they went out, they went out mizuyonim, they went out armed. And you have to understand why was it important for Klai Yisrael to go out with arms. Here it is, they're going with Anei HaKavod. They tell the Nisim by Mitzrayim. Why was it that they had to take arms with them when they leave Mitzrayim? Number two, Ramosha is in different places over here, I'm putting it together. Ramosha says that, let's see, Tmaya, we could ask. You can ask a fundamental question also. You don't want to go and face the Plishtim because maybe they're going to get scared, so just instill fear into the Plishtim and they will be scared. And therefore, the one at Klaus will have nothing to worry about. So what was this idea that you have to be worried about the police, and we have to go around, take Klaus all the way around? So Moshe says, Vavada Kodesh Baruch Hu could have done that. But he points out that it's always Zelu Umazah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do a nace for Klaus. Truth is, the Makos might have been different, like we say in the Haggadah. But after that, Klaus will have to be on the Madrega to be ready for such a nace. So if Klaus weren't on the level of Bitochon, to believe solely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to put a nace for the Plishtim. If Klaiser won such a Madrega Bitochen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done a nace for them by making the Plishtim scared. That's why he didn't do the nace for the Plishtim. But then Ramesh explains, what is this mila of having the arms? So Klaiser is going to go out with these arms. We said, what was the pshat in that? Is it Yalkut Shimon? Yalkut Shimon, he says, Arba Melochim, there are four kings. Masha Tavazel Loi Tavazel. And each one was on a different madrig. David HaMelech said that I'm going to go and fight against the Oivim, and I will achieve them through you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asa, Melech Asa said that I have no koyach to kill the enemies, I will just run after them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will kill them. Yehoshaphat says, I have no koyach to not to kill them, not to run after them, I'm going to say Shira, and you're going to do all the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Chizkiyah, I have no koyach to do any of that. I'm going to lie in bed. Hareini yashin b'mitasi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to do everything. So which one is on the higher madrega of bitachon over here? Is it Chizkiyah, because he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have no koyach whatsoever, you do everything? Is that the highest level of bitachon? Maybe the highest level of bitachon is David HaMelech. When David said, I'm going to run, I'm going to take out my knife, I'm going to stab the enemy and kill them, and I'm going to recognize that everything was from you. That's even higher madrega of bitachon. To sit back and let a Kodesh Baruch Hu do everything, okay, you believe a Kodesh Baruch Hu can do everything. But do it yourself and then say it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Huh? Right, that's the greater praise. He says, Klai Yisrael going out, mezuyonim, the importance of that is that to raise their madrega of emunah. In return, they sat back and let a Kodesh Baruch Hu do everything. Kodesh Baruch Hu is now bringing on, we'll talk about a little bit more in a moment, a nisayon of emunah. He wanted to test their emunah and tell them to take arms and still see me in the picture. That was the madrega of taking the arms over here. And in fact, that's what the few psukim say later, that Idara b'nei Yisrael v'yashuv v'yachon lifnei k'yachirois. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of sends them on a wild goose chase over here. Speak to Klai Yisrael and tell them to go backwards towards the Mitzrayim. So why tell them to go backwards towards the Mitzrayim? The pshat is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to have the schus of emunah. It was only the schus of emunah they were able to be saved by Yamsuf. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka put them in such a situation where they'd have a nisayon, And that would raise their level of emuna, and that's how they'll be zoichet to Kriyas Yamsuf. That's really a, I don't usually have themes in the parasha here, but that's really a theme over here in this week's parasha. Because you look at the end of the parasha, it says by the mon, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, "Ne mamti lechem lechem min hashamayim v'yotzam loka dvar yom b'yoymo." Why? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu make it such a situation? L'man anoseinu hayelach b'sarosi imoy. The whole word of the mon was a test in emuna. It was a nisoy. The whole pshat of parashas b'shach is Klai Yisrael now going to the midbar. It's a totally different parasha than it was when they were in Mitzrayim. Now they're going to be tested. This you have to understand, the yisoyistic idea when it comes to nisoyness. We all have nisoyness every day of our life. And nisoyin, as they say, that a person in the good times could make millions through midas tovus, through doing good maisim. At the time of nisoyin, a person can make billions. Nisoyin are opportunities for us to raise ourselves up. It's very important to look at nisoyin. We don't look at nisoyin as if, okay, something tough happened, I got to get over it, right? So some people will be broken by nisoyin, some people will say, okay, I have to just get past it and things will be better. But the right attitude when it comes to nisoyin is it's an opportunity to advance myself in my avodas HaKadosh.
Why are you taking a risk, though? You say, if you go out into your arms and say, you don't measure the level, and you say, it's my own strength that you're...
Yes, 100%. That's what I'm saying. Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to raise him up. And whenever you get try to raise yourself, you're putting yourself in a sakana. It has to be. If there's no sakana, you'll never get up, right? If there's no lufum tsara agra, if you don't have the difficulties, the challenges, the pitfalls, the ability to fall, you'll never raise yourself. Kadosh Baruch Hu had faith in him. He did. Could be Moshe didn't have as much faith even as Kadosh Baruch Hu. They say a story. And they say, well, first they... Let's say a nisoyin is like this. A nisoyin is like a knife. A knife could be helpful. It could cut. It could do an operation with a knife. But a knife also can be dangerous. It could slice one's fingers. It can hurt someone. That's what a nisoyin is. A nisoyin has the positives and, of course, with the negatives. There's a maestro, his name was Mar Baruch Zlotovich. Mar Baruch Zlotovich was a very, very wealthy individual before communist rule in Russia. And he lost everything. Everything he had. He was a tremendous Baal Stoker, tremendous tzaddik in his own right. And they came to the Brisk Rav and they asked him, what's pshat? Why did Rav Baruch Zlotovich lose everything he has? The Brisk Rav explained that Rav Baruch Zlotovich was, this is, you have to think of it like a graduation, which means he graduated the Nisyonis that came along with wealth, the Nisyonis Al Isha, said the Brisk Rav. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to test him in the nisyonis of Oini, of poor. They say over from his daughter, she must have been a tzaddikus in her own right, that she told her children that I had the nisyonis of Oisher and I had the nisyonis of Oini, being rich and being poor. She says the nisyonis of Oisher were much, much more difficult than the nisyonis of Oini, and she benched her kids, they should never have the nisyon of Oisher. That was the bracha she gave to her kids. Nisayin's like we were saying, it's a socket, it's a knife. She said, not the way the story went. So you have to look at the Nisayin's, understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu's trying to raise Klai Yisrael. This whole parish, and we'll see through all the whole of the midbar, the whole point of everything having, all not having the water, and every step of the way was to raise Klai Yisrael up. We see David did that a number of times. He said, give me nisoyin, I'll try to pass it. And he was held accountable for that. It was not the proper thing. Right? We say, right? We don't want nisoyin. We don't want nisoyin.
That's one of the differences between David
and Melech
and
Esau. Esau
was not
overcome them.
That way, they were just the absolute opposite. They have the same kumas and nefesh. But they use them in a completely opposite direction.
Interesting. So then we have the Ramban is battle with two psukim, the juxtaposition of two psukim. Klai Yisrael see the Hinei Mitzrayim Naisa Acharein, the Yirim Oed, the very fearful. What do they do? Yitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. They cry out to Hashem. They daven. The next pasuk says, turn to Moshe and say, Hamibli ein kvar b'mitzrayim. What, there's no more graves in Mitzrayim to come and get us killed out here, to be buried out here? Says the Ramban, how could it be that a people who turn and daven to Hashem in a time of tzara could turn to Moshe and say, Hamibli ein kvar b'mitzrayim, the person who took you out of Mitzrayim? They'll kick back at the one who's trying to save them. Tell them it's better not to be saved. So Ramban, in one of his perushim there, says the nochan shenefarish ki hayu kisois. It was two different groups of Klal Yisrael. The group, first group, was the group who cried out to Hashem. It was the group that called Klal Yisrael. And the next group is probably the heir of Rav. Those who were taken out of Mitzrayim and who weren't on the Madrega to be really redeemed. So therefore, the first group cried out to Hashem, and the next group says, Hamibli ein kvar ben Mitzrayim. If you look at Rashi over there, Rashi says, the Yitzaku, they cried out, Tofsu umnois avoisam. They grabbed on to that which was passed down from their fathers. It says by Avram, Elamok masher omad sham, Yitzchak lasuch besodin Yaakov yifka b'mokum. Interesting, I once saw in the Sefer, Minhag Yisrael Torah, that the word davening, where's the word daven come from? You say, oh, it's a Yiddish word. Daven. Daven comes de avuhun. It comes from our fathers, something that comes from our forefathers. And that's what Rashi means, tafsu umnos avoisam, the umnos of their avos was tefillah. The Sefer Abir Yosef, though, he says maybe Rashi was bothered over here with the Ramban's kasha. The Ramban's kasha, again, was, how could it be? One pasuk says they turn to Hashem to daven, and the next pasuk they right away turn to Moshe Rabbeinu and start complaining. So Ramban said it was two different groups. Then maybe Rashi saying it was the same group. So how could it be the same group? Like the Ramban asks. The pshat is tofsu umnois avoisam. It's not a positive thing. They only davened because their fathers davened. They didn't daven because they meant it. That's what Rashi said. We find many times Klal Yisrael cries out in Mitzrayim, they cried out also. Why didn't Rashi say over there, Tavsu umnos avoisam? Because over here, Rashi's telling you that it wasn't a true cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't a cry with emunah. And that's how it could be. The same people can cry out, can turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, to Moshe and say, Amibli en kvar b'mitzrayim. Because that cry wasn't a real cry, and Rashi's catching on to that by saying the words, Tavsu umnos avoisam. They only cried out because that's something that they saw, but not something that they internalized. The truth is, when it comes to davening over here, the Midrash Rabbah says an unbelievable yisoid we have to take with us. The Midrash Rabbah says that it compares Klal Yisrael at that moment to a yonosi b'chag ve'asel, like it says in Shir Hashirim, to a dog in the little crux of the rock. And Klal Yisrael were stuck on all sides, and just like the dove is flying away from the raven, from the nesher, from the eagle, and it flies, I don't know one place it can hide, it's in the little cracks over there, and it's hiding there, and all of a sudden it turns around in the crack and it sees a snake coming out of from the other end. It's stuck on both ends, it has nowhere to go. That was Klal Yisrael at this moment. So what does it say by over there, by in Shir HaShir? It says, Hashmi'eni es koilech hi koilech no. The reason why I did this, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is I wanted to hear your voice. I wanted to hear your beautiful voice. Ki koilech no. So the Midrash in Shmoyis Rabbah says that Kodesh Baruch Hu mevakash lishmoyas koilam. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to hear their voice pam acheres. He wanted to hear it again. He heard it in Mitzrayim when they cried out. He wanted to hear them cry it again. V'loi ha'yi reitzim. Klal Yisrael didn't daven to him. Ma asa gir l'par lidoi v'rechoyim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu sent power to run after them. And he put them by the yam in all that cases. Why? Because he wanted to hear oysa kosh shekvar shematzim Mitzrayim. I want to hear that voice which I heard in Mitzrayim. L'chen k'siv hashmi'eni yas koilach. So you have to understand, the Yisrael over here, when it comes to tefillah, which the Midrash is saying over here, I think we're all familiar with really, is that we daven usually because we want a Yeshua. And the answer is, that's not correct. You don't daven for the Yeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to daven, so he brings a tzara. The tachlis is not the Yeshua, the tachlis is the davening. It's the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to bring out. You daven because you're in the eighth tzara, but not because you want to be saved, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to hear your voice. Hashmi'eni is koyach. The whole reason I'm bringing this tzara on you is that you'll daven. So Klal Yisrael has to daven in the time of tzara. To remember, it's not the tachlis of being out of the tzara. The tachlis is just the davening itself. And that could be pshat. And the Gemara says, krum zulos. The davening is something which is oymed berumah shel oylam. It's so great. U'bnei adam mezalzim bo, and people treat it with disrespect. So it could be, it's talking about people who treat davening properly, right? Not people who are just, playing on their phone during davening. People who daven, like mentioned. But the idea is, this is also a zilzul to tefillah. To think tefillah is just a means to an end is a zilzul in tefillah. Tefillah is not a means to an end. Tefillah is the end in itself. The Yeshua is just something that happens afterwards. Because you daven, you get the Yeshua. But the tachlis is not the Yeshua. The tachlis is tachlis tefillah. So I know you're all going to ask. So if that's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to hear Klai so badly, so why is it right away? What does it say? Lama titzak elai, why do you scream out to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Go! Right, go across the Yamsuf. So everyone asks, Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not time to daven now. What do you mean? We just said the whole point was the davening. Right? So now you tell me it's not time to daven, it's time to go. Okay, however, Perushim Yesh Badover, you can say a lot of different pshatim. But the Targum Yonasan, I think, hints to the answer over here, to exactly to the Yisoid that we're saying. Targum Yonasan says on that pasuk, Rama Hashem Lamaisha, Lama ant kai umatzli. Moshe, why are you davening? Kadmai haitzlusin da'ami kadam. The tefillah of my nation already preceded your tefillah. That's what the Targum Yonasan says. Moshe, why are you davening? And Klai Yisrael already davened. Which means what I was waiting for was the tefillah of Klai Yisrael. Once I got that, then I don't need you to daven anymore. I have the tefillah of Klai Yisrael. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't telling Klai Yisrael not to daven, it's a time not to daven. No, it's because you just daven that's why you're going to have the schus of going through the Yam Suf now. And I'll just add a little piece of free advice over here. The, what's Rabbi Bader's Irgun Kovet Shemayim, right? He's trying to not to talk during davening. So a lot of different methods you can have to try to encourage people not to talk during davening. But maybe he wants to use the following word. It says in the Moshe says, Hashem yilochem lechem atem dacharishim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to fight for you, and you just have to remain silent. So they say over, the Olam says over, it's a remez that not talking in shul is a school of a parnosa. Why? Hashem yilochem. Yilochem is yud lamed ches mem, lechem. Kadosh Baruch Hu yilochem. He'll provide your lechem for you, atem dacharishim, as long as you're quiet in shul. You'll have your parnos?
Who says?
The Olam. The Olam says
that. Don't talk in shul. Bring it down.
Oh, really?
He brings it down that you're going not only to be safe from the heaven, you're also going to be safe from the worms. All of this stuff is going to happen if you don't talk in shul.
Ah, so sometimes you tell people school in parnos, you never know what happens. Okay, I wanted to point out two psukim in Az Yashir, that I want to be oimed on. We say it every day, it's kedai to be oimed on some ha'aris in the Shira. So the pasuk says, Ruach ha'techa ner m'mayim, the waters came up, nitzvuk when they noizim, kopu sohemis b'lev yam, Omar oyev erdoiv asig achalik shol. So Paro is the oyev, Paro says out, I will chase them, I will capture them, I will split up the booty over there. So the Ramban is already bothered with, why is this part of the Shira? First of all, it's out of order because it's in the middle of them being destroyed. It says that Paro is going to come and say that I'm going to still capture them. So he brings out one shot. You're right, it's Ein Mukta Mu'ucha B'Torah. It is out of order. He gives his own shot al-pi pshat. But he asks, just why is this part of the Shira? You're singing Shira Kodesh Baruch Hu for the miracles he did. Why do you stick in the one line that Paro said, I'm going to go and wipe out Klai Yisrael? So you could say, without the Ramban, you could say one pshat is, that you want to show Kodesh Baruch Hu breaks the gaiva. People who are misgol, they have so much gaiva like Paro. He says, I'm still going to go chase them and get them. And you see how great a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he can still break that. But the Ramban says, it's actually more Meduik in the Ramban before, and last, in the Perek before, in Perek Yedalin. He says, "Ve'ein b'chol ha'moifsim kepela hazeh." There is no greater miracle like this miracle. What's he talking about? He says, "Zeh be'emes shiga'oin lahem." He says it makes no sense whatsoever that the Mitzrim should want to go into the Yamsuf. So that was the biggest pella. The fact that Paro could say, "Erdoif asik chalik shol," that I'm going to actually go into the Yamsuf after the Machus. And after he sees the Yam being split, he's still going to have such a gall to say it. You have to understand, Avasechel Atzosam V'chizik Es Libom Nikonis V'yam, the Ramban says. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just change the world, how much he can change the hearts of man, and that the Mitzvah could actually follow Klal Yisrael in, is all from this pasuk of Paro leading them, Amar Oyev. That is one of the greatest miracles that took place throughout the entire Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the Ramban. And then I want to tell you just a pasuk way to read a pasuk. Okay? Pasuk says, Neshafta Berucha Kisomu Yom. He blew the winds, they covered up the waters. Solu Koiferis Bemayim Adirim. So they sank like lead in the strong waters. Is that a fair interpretation of the pasuk? Neshafta Berucha Kisomu Yom. Solu Koiferis Bemayim Adirim. That's the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra say right there, that the waters were powerful waters, Mayim Adirim. However, it's against a Mefurashal Gemara in Menachos Daf Nun Gimel. The Gemara says, that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk, it's not how you read the Pasuk. The Gemara Darshan is like this, Yobo Adir B'Yiparla Adirim Ma'adirim Ba'adirim. There's a whole play on words over here. They made a song out of the next Gemara. Yobo Yadid Ben Yadid. So that's the Gemara right after. So the first Gemara is on the negative. Yobo Adir V'Yipar La'Adir Ma'Adir Ba'Adir. Yobo Adir Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says Adir V'Mar HaShem. Yipar Ba'Adir, he can punish the Adir. For the Adir is Klai Yisrael. Shinar Ba'Adir Kol Chav Tzei Bo. Me Adir, who is going to take justice from? Who is he going to punish? Elu HaMitzrim. How do you know the Adirim are the Mitzrim? Because the Pasuk says, Solu Koiferis B'Mayim Adirim. What's the Gemara mean? The Gemara says that the Adirim are the Mitzrim because the Pasuk says, Solu Koiferis B'Mayim Adirim. The Gemara is understanding the Pasuk as follows. Solu Koiferis B'Mayim, that they fell like lead in water. Who drowned like water? Adirim, the Mitzrim. So you don't read the Pasuk as one continuous statement. Solu Koiferis B'Mayim Adirim. That's not the way you read the Pasuk. The Pasuk has read Solu Koiferis B'Mayim. Pause. Who? The Adirim. Says the Shai Tshuva. Shai Tshuva was Rav Chaim Mordechai Margolius. So he lived the turn of the 19th century. And he is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. He's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah. In the print of Mishnah Berurah, you have the Ber Heitav, and you have the Shai Tshuva. You know, say for Piskei Tshuvas, they have a compilation of all these Tshuva Svarim. So he was like the first one that did that. He didn't have the Itzah Chachma though, but he did it a couple of hundred years ago. So the Shai Tshuva. So the Shai Tshuva writes in Siman Mem Ches. You can look it up in Mishnah Berurah. Sorech lahafzik tzas bein mayim ben adirim. You have to halacha l'maisa when you read the pasuk. You have to stop between mayim and adirim, because according to this gemara in the Menachos, the pasuk has to be read like that. The adirim is going on the mitzvah, and even though he says you could read it the other way also, you could, like the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, we said read it. It's going on the description of the waters. Nonetheless, yevshahafzik tzas lo loymer b'neshima achas. Still not proper to say it in one breath. You should make a hafzik. So interesting halacha lemaisa, ha'ara on how to tighten up the pasuk we say every day. The Kli Yoker says, "Klai so leave Yamsuf, v'yisa Moshe yisel mi Yamsuf, v'yotzol midbar shur, v'yelchu shloishes yom midbar v'lo yimotzu mayim." So they go 3 days in the midbar, they don't find water. The Kli Yoker says that what happened? Moshe was trying to pull them away. Hasiim bal korcham, Rashi says he had to force them to leave the Yamsuf. Why? Because they wanted the spoils of the Mitzvah. And Moshe was scared that if they have too much Oisha, that they're going to end up coming to a chet, as we see what happened by the Maisa Ego, because of the goal that they had. V'oin chashav Moshe, says the Kli Yoker, that the Reba HaOisha will be a cause for them not to mekabel the Torah. Look at the words he uses. Ki ha-Torah ve-ha-Oisha borchim zem izeh. Torah and wealth run one from the other. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Tovli ki anisi," the being poor, "Laman elamed chukecha, so I can learn your Torah." So he says, when it's 3 days they went without water, is a mida keneged mida, because they were oisik in something which is keneged the Torah. They were oisik in something which was oisher. They want to stay by the Yamsuf, so therefore they were punished not to have Torah. He says about it, it wasn't that they didn't have the word Makabal Torah, but since Torah is Nimshul Lamayim, they didn't get water because that was a mushal to what they gave up on. Since they were kind of giving up on a shtickl kabbalas ha-Torah, so therefore they were punished, and they didn't have water, which was a mashal for the Torah, like we find by Refidim. Refidim shirof yedeim in ha-Torah, what does it say over there? V'yacharu v'refidim v'lo ha'ya mayim la'am lishtois. They had no water to drink. Again, if you have a felt something in your kabbalas ha-Torah, then it could be a loss of water as a mashal to the Torah that you lost also. So the Imre Emes, once quoted from the Yonis and Eibishitz, I don't know how common that was to happen, but they say over, he quoted like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klai Yisrael that I'm going to bring the man. And we know Laman on the same way, Yelech Besaros, Yoloh, there'll be a Nisayin over here. He says, what was the Nisayin of the man? The Nisayin of the man, we know that the man could taste like anything you want. Right? That was the godless of the man. Shalom Abrocha to make on it. That was, he says, but the problem is the Mishnah says in Avos, the darkel shel Torah is what? Pas b'melech toicha. He says, how could it be the like nitna Torah lo'echle haman, people who can have the taste of anything, and you tell me that Torah is only nitnas b'pas b'melech toicha? So it says, Yoris and Ibish, that you know what the nisayin of the man was? That you should eat the man and only have in mind pas b'melech toicha. That was the nisayin of the man. So that's what Imre Emes quoted. Simple bread and salt.
The man could taste like anything you wanted to, but he said that the nisayon, the challenge was that they should be on a level, so that even though the man could taste anything like they wanted to, but that they were on a level where they were satisfied with it just tasting like bread and water. That's it.
That was the kabbalah. Yeah. Okay, I'll end with the Shev Baruch of art. Anybody speak of Shev Baruch, you can always use this word. It's a good thing to put, right? And Moshe Feinstein and Darish Moshe says like this. At the end of the parashah, we talk about Amalek, says, Kiyar al Kesko. We know that Shem Hashem is not Shalom until Amalek is removed from this world, eradicated from this world, and therefore only the Yud and the Hay was revealed in the Pasuk, Kiyar al Kesko. The Yud and the Hay, and not the Vav and the Hay, because the Shem Hashem is not Shalom. So he says, Kasha, why is it when it comes to husband and wife, the Gemara tells us in the Saita, that Ish v'Isha, if there's Zoicha, then Shechina Shari B'Neim. Why? Because the man has the Yud, and the woman has the Hey, and therefore they have the Shechina. And if they're not Zoicha, Eish HaChlosim, because you take away the Hashem's name, you only have Eish. So ask the Vaisha, what do you mean? You just told me now that the Yud and the Hey is only half Hashem's name. It's Ein Hashem Sholem. So what kind of Shechina is Shari? What kind of house are you building without a what's it called, the full Shem Hashem? So Moshe says, Nira Pashut, answer is Pashut, is that that's just the beginning of the work. The Yud and the Hei is the beginning of the work for the husband and wife. Their avoida is to bring the entire Shem Hashem to Shleimus. That's their lifetime avoida together. They should be Zaycha to do that. Wow. See that? I knew I was bringing the skirt to the table. Good Shabbos.